Bible tonight and go back to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This morning started a series of messages on the battle in the Christian life, and talked about the warfare. He talks about in verse 4 in the text scripture for the weapons of our warfare. And that word warfare means living a military life, but it also means being in continual war. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that the Christian life is a continual struggle, or is a continual, that we're all the time going to be under strain and stress and that of the battle. But it is a battle. And there is strain and stress that comes with the battle. I was listening to a preacher, as a matter of fact, yesterday. And as I was listening to him preach, he was talking about the pressures of life. He said, some of you all are wanting out from under the pressures of life. You do everything to get out from underneath the pressures of life. He said, if you're going to live for God in this day and time, there's just going to be pressure. And that's just how it is. There's just pressure. Amen? I believe the Lord can certainly help us. I ask you to stand to your feet this tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's reverence the reading of God's Word while we stand. Ain't you glad you got a book tonight? Amen? I'm glad I got a book. I can read and know and understand and act by the help of the Holy Spirit tonight. Let's begin to read in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 10. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you. Notice that's the second time he said that. That I may not be bold when I am present with you, or with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You can be seated tonight, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this tonight that you've given us. We pray now that you'd help us while we might preach, save somebody, help somebody. Find folk that might find strength in tonight in your word. And just give me unction from the Holy One and touch us tonight. For these things in Jesus' name do I ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we look this morning, we talked about the foe that we have. He said, for we live in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. And so we talked about the spiritual foe and the physical foe. The physical foe, and I didn't deal with this, but just for a handful of minutes, is our flesh that we have to deal with. I may deal with that in a separate message of its own. But we talked about Satan, and we looked at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and looked at Goliath and the type of him as being our adversary. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, a walking about seeking whom he made about. Simon, Simon, Satan's desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But boy, ain't you glad Jesus went on to say this, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And so I'm glad that the Lord, he told Simon over there, but I have prayed for you. And we look at the enemy and the foe that we fight. And let me say this, that if you missed that, I encourage you to go watch it or listen to it. It's already up. You can go get it right now and listen to it. But tonight I want to look after he said, for we live in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. Then he said in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I want to look at tonight at the weapons of our warfare. What are we supposed to fight with? And what has God given us to be able to fight in the battle? When David went to fight Goliath out there, he had some weapons with him. He carried a shepherd's staff in one hand. He had a sling in the other hand. And stones in a scrip, the shepherd's bag, that was on his hip. And he was going to fight. Why? Because he knew those things would work. He had used them and he understood that those weapons was able and that to defeat the enemy. If we look and we think about what God has given us and that to fight with, take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 6. Most y'all ought to know this tonight, Ephesians chapter 6. And let me say this tonight, if you're not fighting in the battle, or you don't believe that there's, I think everybody in here tonight surely believes that there is a spiritual battle going on in your own life. Surely you know that and you understand that tonight. And I know God will help us fight it. I understand that. We're going to deal with that. But look at Ephesians chapter 6 and look in verse 10. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we..." You know what wiles are? Have you ever heard that somebody's wily? The wily coyote, he's deceptive. He's sly and cunning. And so he said right here, he said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So he tells us you need to stand, but here's how you stand. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So as we understand that we have a foe, a formidable foe tonight, a one that wants to fight, we looked at that this morning. He just don't show up to fight when you want to fight. He wants to fight all the time. He wants to battle you. He wants to battle everything that you do for Christ. He wants to battle every part of your life. And if you choose to battle Him, listen, if you don't choose to battle Him, He's going to fight you and win. Let me say that. And Paul tells us, you've got to do everything you can to stand. You've got to do everything. And He gave us and that the tools how to be able to fight and win this battle. There's one thing that my wife will tell you about me is I hate to lose. No matter what I'm doing, I hate to lose. We're living in a generation where people want to play ball games and not keep score. There ain't no use in it. I'd rather sit there and whittle on a stick as to play a ball game and not keep a score. I want to know if I'm winning or losing. I want to know whether I'm going to be mad or happy at the end of this ball game or not. Amen. I mean, why bother to play? Why bother to do it if there ain't a decision and a winner at the end of it all? You may not feel that way, but I feel that way. And my wife says, "And by the way, there's one other worse thing about you than you wanting to make sure that you win. You're a bad winner on top of that." That's what she tells me. You win bad. That's what she says. But I like to win. But I want you to look right here what the apostle... Y'all grin tonight, okay? It's all right. It's okay to smile. It's just good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Amen. I know there's plenty sick tonight, but listen, we're here and we're ready to worship and ready to learn from the Word of God. And I want to give you something tonight that'll help you and hopefully help me too. I want you to see one of the first things that the Apostle Paul said tonight in the weapons of our warfare when he said this in verse 10. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Tonight, if we have any hope and any help and anything that we're going to get through this life in the battle, it's going to be dependence on the Lord. We're going to have to look to Him to help us and guide us and get us through all of this. Listen, when David went to fight Goliath, as he had put on Saul's armor, he had put on his sword, and then he had saved to take it off because he hadn't proved them, he got what he knew would work. And he took it down there, and as he was charging Goliath, who was threatening his very life, as he was coming, he said, I come to you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel, and whom thou hast defied. He said, I'm coming to you in the name of God, and he's going to get you. Listen, if we hope to win tonight, we're going to have to look up to heaven and say, God, I need some help here tonight. We're going to have to make every aspect of our life dependent upon him. And you got to understand something tonight. David went down there to fight, right? God didn't kill the giant just because David said, kill the giant. I think a lot of people think that's the way Christianity works and that our battle works. I guess sometimes God will do that. I guess sometimes, you know, if you go over to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you'll find a time when God told King Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah, he said, you'll not need to fight in this battle. I guess there's times that we don't have to fight. God just handles every bit of it. Do you know that I find through all the Old Testament, from the time that the children of Israel come up out of the land of Egypt, they had to fight coming out, and they had to fight going into the promised land, and they fought the whole time trying to get in. But God said, if you'll go fight, I'll lead the way and let you win the battle. You know the thing that they done though? They refused to fight. Why do you think that they still had to deal with the Canaanites and the Hittites and all them Hittites over there and the Philistines and all them? You know why? Because they got settled in and things got at ease in Zion and they were okay just to live with the enemy a little outside of the camp. I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with the enemy just living a little outside my camp. I want to get away from him as far as I can because I hate him and he hates me tonight. But if we're going to fight, if we're going to have courage, and if we're going to have strength, it's going to have to come from God. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you go over there and you look about David and his men, there is a whole list of men over there at one point that were valiant men. The Bible called them valiant men. David's valiant men. Was there not one of them that even went out there and fought, what was it, killed 600 men? And he had fought so much and so hard that the Bible said that his hand clave and that to the sword. He couldn't turn loose of it when he got done fighting. But he was willing to fight. Tonight, what I'm trying to get you to see is, as we begin to start, is there must be a willingness for us to fight in this battle. He said, and having done all to stand. We need to do, we need to get our dependence, we need to get our strength, we need to get our courage, and that from God. I believe God has to guide us in the battle. I think He has to give us strength in the battle and help. And that to fight. 2 Samuel 22 said, for thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me, thou hast subdued under me. David said, you've gave me strength and that to fight. I think that's what we need tonight is strength to fight. Strength to keep on going. Strength to not throw up your hands. I say, why bother? Why go through with it? Listen, when Satan comes in, whether it's through your children, whether it's on your job, whether it's in your family, whether he fights in the church. By the way, that happens. You know, folk do show this discord among the brethren. A lot of people, they get sick. Cancer might strike them, whatever happens. And they look up to heaven and they say, why bother with any of it? You're about to lose strength in a case like that. David did not say, why bother when he went to fight Goliath? He said, I'll go down there. He said, I fought the bear and the lion, and that uncircumcised Philistine will be no different than one of them. I'll go down there and fight him. Can you imagine the courage that David had and the valiancy, if that's even a word, that he had? But I want you to look at what God has gave us to be able to stand with. He's gave us His strength. We have to say, Lord, it ain't us, but it's You. It's You that's going to be able to help us get through this battle. It's You that's going to be able to strengthen and give direction and be able to tell us what's going to happen and tell us the way to go. But quickly tonight, look at what he said. He said, stand therefore in verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. So he starts out with the most inner part of a man, of a person. And that talking about the loins, the most inner part. I kind of think Paul likened some of this into that what the Roman soldier carried and his uniform of the day. And maybe it's that belt that he had that went around him. I don't know. Or maybe it's that undergarment that he had that was under his uniform. But he said, the first thing you've got to be is be girded about by the truth. The most inner part of you, the most hidden part of you has to have the truth in it. If we don't have the truth, we ain't got anything. Without the truth, we cannot fight, we cannot stand. Listen, Jesus said in John 17:17, He said, sanctify them by thy truth, or through thy truth, thy word is truth. We need the truth to know. Whatever the truth is, we need it. That's the only way you're going to win the battle. When the devil jumps up on your shoulder and he begins to whisper and he begins to lie to you. Remember what he said right over here? He said to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. His lying, his cheating, his deception, and his defilement tonight. Listen, we need the truth. You need the truth of God's Word, of what it takes, of how to live, the truth of how God can help us. Now, Jesus said in John 8, you shall know the truth shall make you free, but the truth has no falsehood or no error in it tonight. And I know that we're going to pull out this sword and fight here in a minute, but you know, that's why you need to read God's Word and you need to believe God's Word, is because you need the truth. Your life needs to be based on truth, not on something that's fake or false. And I told you I got in my early 40s, and I told you this the other night, I began to become very introspective. I began to look a lot on the inside at things. Am I as real as I say I am? Am I being honest with myself, let alone with everybody else? Am I truthful as you know, am I just putting on a show? And listen, though, you want to think about those things sometimes and find out what drives you. Whether it's the truth of God's Word. I remember my wife, she said one time we were standing upstairs, she was going in her closet. It's amazing how you remember and what's going on sometimes. And I remember she stepped back out of her closet. I don't remember the conversation we was having, but she said, I just wish I could be as spiritual as you are. She didn't say that sarcastically either. I know her sarcasm. And she was being honest. And I was thinking to myself when she said that, only if she really knew what I'd done some days and thought some days and went through some days. I'm not as spiritual some days as some people think that I am. And I'll guarantee you, you're not either. Because you're living in the same flesh that I am. But the truth is what should drive us. Talking about the Lord in Isaiah chapter 11, and righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, and faithfulness the girdle of His reins. Righteousness and faithfulness is what He's got on deep on the inside. The truth of things, the truth of the matter. You know, I just want to be real. I want to be honest and truthful, and I want the truth in my life. He said, be girt about with the truth. Your loins girt with the truth. That's what's holding you up. You know, if we use the word girt, we think of a girdle which holds things in place, if you could say that. Sometimes it makes things in place. Amen. And, you know, that's what upholds us as Christians, is the truth, is it not? Is that not what we're going to fight with? I'll never forget, I heard a fellow say one time, and it has never slipped my mind the whole time, is you do not have to prop up the truth. The truth will always stand on its own and for itself. He said, gird about with the truth. You need to find out what the truth is and live on the truth. Live by the truth. There's no error in the truth. But then he said what? He said, put on what? He said, loins gird about the truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The loins covers about this area from here to here. If you let me say that somewhere in here, your breastplate covers this portion in here and it covers your heart and all the important organs that's in your body. I'm talking about the battle tonight. I'm talking about Satan wanting to fight you. And how are you going to fight him tonight? Am I the only one that battles? Amen. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm watching heads do this number right here. I'm so glad I ain't the only one that battles tonight. I'm not the only one that, listen, do you ever, I'm going to get to this here in a minute, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Do you ever just have a conversation with yourself in your mind and you don't know who's winning, whether it's you or your mind sometimes? I'll get there. But he talks about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. If you go over and look in Isaiah 59, it talks about, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a coat. Listen, Jesus, the Lord, he wore those things first. The same embattlement clothes that he wants us to wear, he wore. And he talks about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5, he talks of breastplate of faith and of love. But this thing protects our vital organs. And listen tonight, it is the righteousness. When he talks of breastplate of righteousness, I believe first of all, you've got to look at it as the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ has to be imputed to you. To know that, listen, it's Him that has sealed us. Brother Bob talked about that so much this morning, and what a great lesson. But He sealed us, and listen, He keeps our heart, and He's got us protected all by His righteousness. Because He is righteous. But then let me say this, and by the way, if you ain't saved tonight, you ain't righteous. Amen. I'm righteous in Christ Jesus the Lord tonight. I am right in Him and because of Him tonight. But then when he talks about the breastplate, so if you ain't saved, you need to get saved tonight. Jesus can save you. But when he talks about the breastplate of righteousness, I believe that he's also could be referring also into that for us doing right and being right. You know, he said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Have you ever done wrong? Let me ask you that tonight. Have you ever done wrong? Does it bother your heart when you do wrong? When you do wrong, cannot Satan use that against you? You remember what he told David over there? Let me go over here and look at this real quick so that I can get it right. Over in the book of 2 Samuel. Is it 2 Samuel chapter 12? He had a sin on God, committed adultery, committed murder, and so the Lord was going to take that baby. And in verse 13, "And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said unto David, the Lord has also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." You know, he's already the accuser of the brethren. But boy, when we mess it up, you understand what I'm saying tonight? I want to live right. I want to be right. I want to be truthful. I want to be honest. And I want to be holy and add in the sight of God out of where He cannot get me. It's protecting my heart. At least in whatever is thrown at me, it bounces off of me. Talking about the armor that we put on to fight this battle. Let's not give. You ever heard the old saying of, giving your enemy ammunition? I think sometimes we do that. And then he talks about our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The very thing that should motivate us and drive us and carry us, you notice he put it on our feet, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, I didn't catch this until late this evening as I was looking at this. He called it the gospel of peace. He is in a position of talking about fighting and battling our enemies. But he said what should motivate us and carry us would be the gospel of peace. You know what the world's looking for tonight? Or what they need? They may not be looking for it. But you know what they need? They need peace in their heart. You know the only thing that's going to bring them peace is the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He done at Calvary and believing and trusting in Him and asking Him to save you, that is what saves men, women, boys, and girls. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He carried the message in his battle and in his fight. He always carried the preparation and that of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and that of peace. Carrying a message, even though we're battling, even though we're fighting, we're carrying a message of peace the whole time. The devil don't like peace, does he? That's why our world is in turmoil tonight. Our nation is in turmoil. It's turned upside down because it's being run by the devil. I'll never forget what Brother Roloff said one time. He said, "America is no more than an insane asylum being run by the inmates." I believe he got it right, don't you? I believe Brother Roloff got it exactly right. But what should carry us and motivate us? And notice it's our feet shod. It's what's covering our feet, the very drive of us. Is the gospel of peace. But then the Apostle Paul in verse 16 makes a very unique statement right here. Out of everything that he tells us to carry and to have, he says, above all. Above all. Even above all that he's going to tell us here in a little bit, he says, and what he has already told us, he said, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What the wicked throws at you, the javelins that come at you and those fiery darts that come at you, he said, you need that shield of faith more than anything. The shield of faith is simply taking God at His Word. Can I ask you tonight, do you believe God and do you trust God? How can you have strength without trusting God? How can you be righteous without trusting Him? How can you know the truth without trusting Him tonight? Believing God and taking God at His Word and simply trusting Him and not wavering and listening what God has said. Take your Bible and go to Romans 4. I didn't intend to go here tonight, but go to Romans 4 tonight. We preached on faith, what was it, last week I believe it was. You and your faith. But as we look at Abraham and we look at faith, he said in verse 13, "For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." So we see what works righteousness, don't it? It's faith. "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, and for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now listen, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." He what? Who against hope believed in hope. He had no reason to hope, but he hoped anyway. He simply just took God at His Word. What was it? That which was spoken, what God had said, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That is the shield of faith tonight. You believe that God can. You believe that God is able to perform what He has promised, that He will keep us, that He will strengthen us, that He will see us through, that He will make a way when there is no way, that God will take care of it as we just trust Him to the very end. You do have faith tonight, don't you? Hold the shield of faith up. You know, they had the shield, which was that round shield that Captain America carried. You know, it was round, it was on his arm. Now, it didn't do all the things that Captain America's shield done, but it was that round one. They carried the buckler, which was about 2x4. It was about 4 foot high, 2 foot wide. And they could get down behind that whole thing. And no matter what came at them, no matter what was thrown at them, they were protected from it tonight. When your faith gets weak, then your shield begins to come down. Sometimes it just gets hard to believe God. The devil beats on your shield so much. Think about it now. He beats on your shield so much and throws so many fiery darts at you, and you've got your shield thrown up, or you're behind that buckler, and you're just, I mean, you're just about afraid to peek out from behind it. Because you're afraid you get poked in the eye with one. But behind that shield, you're kept safe. Trusting in the Lord and putting our faith in Him and believing what He has said. Listen, it's all about this book tonight. Listen, we just believe and trust Him and take that shield. He said to me, He said, and be able to quench. That means to put out all the fiery darts of the wicked. You quench a fire, quench a thirst. You put it out. So our faith in God, not our faith in ourself, not your faith in the preacher. I want you to be able to have faith in me, but don't put your faith in me to help you fight the battle. You put your faith in God. And so what did David do when he ran down there to that giant that was cursing him and looking at him and disdaining him? He said, I believe God. He left out to go fight believing God. He was running to the enemy believing God. And when he turned loose of that stone in that sling, he was believing God. And God came through, did He not? To quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know what that tells me? That there's going to be fiery darts thrown at us. Just not darts. You want me to say it correctly? Fiery darts. I call them fiery darts sometimes, but fiery darts. In other words, they're on fire. They're coming at you. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects the head, protects your mind. I may preach on this in a whole message on itself. Because I said this morning, where the devil fights me the most is up here. I got a feeling you're in the same boat. I got a feeling where you fight him a lot is up here too. Maybe not as much as I do. I don't know. Maybe you've learned how to get him to go away. But he talks about the helmet of salvation that protects the head and protects the mind. Now you need to have a good hope of salvation and in salvation. You need to have that settled in your mind and in your heart. And I believe that's one of the things that he's making reference to right here. And take the helmet of salvation. You need to have that settled in your mind tonight. Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to lose the battle if you don't get that thing settled. If you don't figure this thing out. If you don't know for sure. And listen, I say that tonight. And there's ways to know if you're saved or not. How do you know you're saved? Well, did you do what the Bible said? Did you come to Him and ask Him to save you? Did you trust Him to save you? Did you do that? You know, one, if you come, then you had to come by faith. Why is it that some people, they come and then they trust by faith, and then somewhere in life they lose faith in what they put in Him with to start with? You may not. I was listening to one preacher preach on this whole subject one time. He was talking about there were four different people, and one of the persons he started with is, you've never doubted your salvation in your whole life since you got saved. And he said, how blessed are you that you've done that.
He said he doubted his so much that he got baptized so much, that's how he learned how to swim. Was in the baptismal pool. And he said, you know, the thing about it was God had saved me when I was 7 years old, the first time I came and believed and trusted. You've got to get that thing settled in your mind and in your heart. Because until you get that thing settled, the devil will beat on you with that. He'll wire you out with that. I mean, he'll beat you over the head with it, as the old saying is. You need to get that settled tonight. Did you come to him asking him to save you? Was there a difference when you got saved? Has there been a change? There's ways to know you're saved. I think it protects our mind. The helmet of salvation protects our mind. We go back to the text scripture and he said in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We've got to get our thinking right. Sometimes that's harder to do than you think. Some people can think. Let me stop here for just a second. Do you know that things you've seen and heard is still stored up here in your mind? And a lot of times some of that bad stuff will come back up at a most inconvenient time. That's why I challenge you moms and dads to be careful what you let your children see and what you let them listen to and watch, because listen, they're going to have enough baggage to carry the rest of their lives. Why let them create more problems for their life that they don't have to? Me and you's carrying baggage tonight. Me and you's carrying memories of things that we wish we could get rid of. Sometimes I just wish I could take my brain out of my head and just worship and put it back in. You ever think that way? Maybe I'm the only one that thinks that way. But I just want to take it out, worship, and get it cleaned up and put it back in. He said, casting down imaginations, you're thinking, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, that means to trap it and bring it into jail, if you will. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. You got to get your mind. Listen, the devil wants to get in your mind and he wants to live thy rent free, and if you let him, he's going to wear you out. He said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All these others have been defensive armor. But the Word of God is an offensive weapon. David went down there with a sling and a stone to fight. You know what we have to fight with? The Word of God. Take your Bible and go to Matthew 4. Y'all know what it says. But go over there with me. Matthew chapter 4. While you're going there, Hebrews chapter 4 said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's power in the word of God. If you're going to fight tonight and you're going to win, you're going to have to fight with the word of God. Sometimes you're just going to have to say in your mind, whether it's in your mind or out loud, now here's what the Bible says, and it's how I'm going to live. Matthew chapter 4, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he always comes to you at a weak spot. He's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. By the way, if you read in one of the other Gospels, he was tempted through that 40 days and 40 nights. But he's come to the end of that 40 days and 40 nights. And here's where Satan really works on him at. When he is at his weakest point and at his lowest point. Can I tell you that? Satan tries to drive you to a weak point. He wants to drive you to a weak point because he knows if he can drive you to a weak point, he can probably control you at that point. And when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones may make bread. Can I stop right here and say, you know why you've got to put on the helmet of salvation? What was the question right here? Matthew chapter 3. Jesus had been baptized of John out in Bethabara in the river Jordan. The heavens opened up. And God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. What was the question that Satan said right here? If thou be the Son of God. He challenged his divinity and his sonship. He will always challenge your sonship. He'll get you at a weak point and want to challenge who you are. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. He dealt with the physical side of Christ. He was hungry. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what did he say? It is written. Where did he go? He actually went to the book of Deuteronomy. That's where Jesus pulled that from. Was from the book of Deuteronomy. I believe it's chapter 8. Man shall not live by bread alone. Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, challenge this sonship again. Cast thyself down. Watch this right here. He said, cast yourself down. For it is written. Who's talking right there? Satan's talking. Now what's Satan talking about? It is written. Well, he's quoting Scripture, ain't he? Where it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now that is what the Scripture says over there in the book of Psalms. But it is not applying to this right here. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, book of Deuteronomy, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus got in one of the greatest battles that there ever was with Satan in Matthew chapter 4, and he pulled out the sword of God's Word out of the book of Deuteronomy and began to swing with it. When them thoughts come up there and Satan begins to fight with you and listen, you're just going to have to draw out the sword and begin to fight. Here's what the Word of God says. You've got to believe the Word of God. You've got to trust the Word of God, but you've got to use the Word of God. That's why you need to read it. That's why you need to know it. You're not always going to be able to have time and that to run over here and find some Scripture that will help you. But and there are times that you can. There are times that you do that. But listen, there are times that God just needs to recall some things back under your memory. You think Jesus reached over and got a scroll out, rolled it out, and said, right here's what it says in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, ain't what he said. I mean, he is the Word of God. He knew it because he is it. If we're going to fight, you're going to have to draw out your sword. And you need to know how to use your weapon. But then we go back to the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to look at this last one. We'll close. Verse 18, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, I know some people would not put that with the armor of God, but I will. Because without praying, we have no power at all. He said, praying always. If you don't know how to pray, you need to learn how to pray. Go to Matthew chapter 6 and look over here and over there. He talks about entering into the prayer closet and shutting the door. That's a big thing to do, shut the door. But if you're going to win, if I'm going to win in this battle, we're going to have to learn how to pray. People that win battles, what was it? Was it Patton? Was it General Patton? I can't remember when he was fighting. He said, get me a chaplain up here that knows how to pray. I believe it was Patton that said that. He wanted a chaplain that knew how to pray. They needed some fog lifted. and they needed to go fight. And he wanted that chaplain to come up there and pray. God would lift the fog. God did. Go read the story. 1 Thessalonians 5, he said, pray without ceasing. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now notice how we are to pray in the Spirit. I think we're going to have to get along. We're going to have a life that is pleasing to the Lord and one that knows His Word and one that's trusting His Word. And we're going to have to be displaying and carrying all the armor to be able to pray in the Spirit. I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. He said to pray in the Spirit. We'll have to be living in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. Living honest before God and righteous before Him. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We'll have to pray one for another. If you look in Luke's, you know, if you look at Jesus' life, He got along so much and prayed. Got along so much and prayed. You know what I've learned about old-timers that had power with God and knew how to fight the battle? They were praying people. They knew how to pray. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. When's the last time you prayed all night? I can't remember the last time I prayed all night. I can remember going to bed praying. I can remember waking up praying, but to pray all night. When has something got so real upon our heart and upon our life that disturbed us enough or that we cared about enough that we was willing to pray all night, willing to lose sleep over prayer? We'll lose sleep over everything else. Why not over prayer? They told a story one time about two men that was going to preach revival. And so one evangelist called the other, and that other evangelist's wife answered the phone. He told her who he was and said, I'd like to talk to him. She said, he's praying right now. You can call back in a little while and talk to him. So a couple hours went by. He called back to talk to the other evangelist. And she says, I hate to tell you, said he's still in his study and he's still praying right now. So it rocked on through the day and he called back the third time. And she was kind of embarrassed to tell him, but said, I hate to tell you this, but said, he's still in there praying right now. I think by the fourth time that he called back that evening, and she said, I'm really embarrassed to tell you, but said, he's still there. He can't come. He's still praying. He said, that's all right. Said, I believe that revival's going to be good. And I think so. When's the last time we cared about each other enough and things that was in our life and going on in our life that we just spent time praying? I know that we work and we pray. I mean, I go out to my workshop and I work on little projects and things and I'm praying while I'm out there. But I'm talking about where I just stop and talk to God. Where you just stop spending some time alone with God. You get on your knees or you get along with Him, whether you sit down on a rock somewhere in the woods or whatever it might be and just want to talk to Him. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I think if you look at David's life, you find one of the reasons that he made it through all his battles that he did is because he knew how to pray. Go back and look at his life. David just talked to the Lord. If you're going to win the battle tonight, you better know how to pray. You better learn how to pray and have a prayer life. Let's bow our heads tonight. We won't have no music. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come. If you need help in the battle tonight, I want you to come and pray. Listen, if God has spoke to you, you say, I'm fighting, preacher. Why don't you come and pray, say, Lord, I need some help with the Word of God. I need some help in my life. I want to be girded about with the truth. I want that shield of faith. Help me. You know, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's how you get your faith tonight. His disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. But if you're in a battle tonight, you're going to need that armor and you're going to need that sword and you're going to need the strength of God. Would you trust Him tonight? Anybody in the house need to come and pray?